Watch Matt Bowen. Bowen's a tough guy.
Matt Bowen.
And it's intercepted by Matt Bowen.
Miller, ton of time. The coverage is good with Matt Bowen.
7-year NFL veteran.
Blitz coming from Bowen, and he knocks it out. The Redskins fall on top of it.
Matt Bowen's been the guy applying all the pressure.
Coach for IC Catholic football.
Matt Bowen, a man from Glen Ellyn, Illinois. He's very active.
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
That shows you that I think this playoffs is going to be one of the most unpredictable we've seen in a long time. Tell me who the favorite is right now. The Super Bowl. I don't know who it is.
Yeah, I don't know who it is either. Matt, as always, we appreciate the time and the education, sir.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Happy New Year. Matt Bowen and his family right there. Happy New Year to them. Matt Bowen's family was not on the line, just to clarify.
But they're there in support.
They're implied.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't exist.
Merry New Year!
Matt Bowen.
I have a simple rule with beer. I only drink beer that you can buy in 30 packs. So that, I'll leave you with that.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
What a time to be alive and talk playoff football with Matt Bowen. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Matt, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm great, guys. What's going on?
Oh, Matt, so much is going on. There's a lot of different things to talk about. We got the season as a whole. We got the Packers game coming up. We got that effort on Sunday. Let's start with the effort on Sunday. Why did they stay in man-to-man as much as they did on defense? And there's lots of crazy theories out there. You've probably heard them. Do you have any thoughts on why they stayed that way? Because, boy, Jared Goff was eating them alive.
He was. I actually just looked at the numbers. Against man coverage on Sunday, he was 17 of 30 for 228 and a touchdown. So a lot of those throws to Spiegs were rhythm throws, right? Inbreakers, crossers, over routes. That's where Goff is at his best, especially when he has a clean platform to throw the football from. Bears are not generating enough pressure. And when you play man coverage and you don't hit the quarterback, you better be really good in the secondary. And the Bears were not. Played heavy outside leverage versus a lot of in-breaking routes. And I'll tell you right now, against Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Raymond, if you allow immediate separation at the line of scrimmage, you're not going to get back in phase. That means back to the hip of the defense, you know, of the wide receiver, we can make a play on the football. Then it turns into a foot race. And what the wide receiver does is simply run away from coverage. So why do they play so much man speaks? Because against zone coverage, he was 10 of 12 for 103 yards. But I'll tell you, this is why I say that, Speaks, because zone coverage against a team like Detroit, heavy play action, similar to playing against Ben Johnson, there are windows to attack at the second level and the third level if you can create the coverage voids. They're excellent at that. So if you're a defensive coordinator saying, we're not going to give them those open window throws to the middle field, we're going to challenge them. But again, going back to my original point, to do that, you have to hit the quarterback, you have to make a player like Jared Goff move off his throwing platform, and you have to play much tighter coverage.
Man, so what do you do moving forward then? Like, how do you compensate? This is what I'm trying to figure out. If you're bad in man-to-man coverage, but you have to play it sometimes, how do you compensate? How do you compensate for being bad in it?
Well, you have to play man coverage in third and 2-6. If you play cover two or cover three, they're going to run hitch routes, they're going to run slants, they're going to run stick routes, they're going to move the chains. NFL quarterbacks are too good. You have to challenge in those situations. You have to play press, you have to give hands on wide receivers and disrupt the release to disrupt the timing of the route itself. So in those situations, you got to play man. And if I'm Dennis Allen against the Green Bay Packers in those situations, I'm playing man with pressure because right now I'm not getting home with four, so that's telling me I have to bring pressure. But in regular down and distance situations, especially 3rd and 7-10, where you're going to win or lose the football game this Saturday night, I think the Bears will have to be more zone heavy. They'll have to be disciplined in zone coverage. Their second level defenders have to get to what I call zone depth. That's usually at 10 to 12 yards in the NFL, where you can close or basically create a line across the field to close those second level windows and play top down on everything from the third level, which you're forcing the Green Bay Packers to do in that situation is take the underneath throws in 3rd and 7-10. Then it comes down to a situation where it's angle to the football and tackling. But we talked about this before, Speak. Go back to the game, what is it, week 16, was it at Lambeau? Week, whatever it was at Lambeau Field. The game at Lambeau, when they played man coverage, it didn't turn out well for this Bears defense.
It's interesting because Jordan Love can run, but he's not a runner. So I'm wondering, could we see a little cover two man?
Yeah, that's a great point. And I really like cover two man. But to your point, Lawrence, you have to play it against a pocket thrower. Because once he gets back past that first wave of pass rushers, there's no one home when you're playing two man. And for the listeners out there, what two man means is two deep safeties over the top, just like cover two. But instead of zone coverage underneath, everyone's playing man coverage. It's in a different man coverage. Usually heavy inside leverage, playing to the low hip. You're kind of underneath the wide receiver or tight end because you have that help over the top. So that is one answer, Lawrence, that we could see. And look, Dennis Allen historically has played a lot of two man with his defenses.
So when I look at the issues with some of the man coverage stuff, with Jalen Johnson, I we've talked about the last 3 weeks. He just doesn't look like himself. I'm wondering if he's maybe if he's not as quick or as sudden as he used to be, is this a game where maybe he could get a little bit more physical, make him run a bubble, and maybe help himself out? Or does that set him up for giving up an even bigger play?
I think you have to challenge him, Lawrence. I think you have to be more physical, to your point. I think that's where he's at his best. If you were to ask someone what is Jalen Johnson, I would say he's a physical coverage corner. That means he can excel in press. That means he's physical at the top of the break. That gives him an advantage because that's a physical play style he brings to the football field on Sunday. So I would be more physical in press coverage with Jalen this week. But you know what we're getting to right here. And I think this has been an issue for weeks and weeks with the Chicago defense. Who was playing in the slot on Saturday night?
Amon-Ra St. Brown. Oh, this Saturday night.
Is it Kyler Gordon that is out there?
It better be Kyler Gordon, right?
I don't think it's going to be C.J. Gardner-Johnson. The way that he walked off the field was terrifying.
It was, and C.J. has really struggled in man coverage. He really has. You know, that has been part of this defense that has been exposed with Kyler Gordon out is the slot targets, and especially the man coverage slot targets and getting beat on crossers and over routes that turn into explosive plays. And that's one thing you have to take away against Green Bay. Because I'll tell you what, if I'm Matt LaFleur, the first third down, when I get the Bears in man coverage, I'm throwing a deep over or a deep crosser to Christian Watson or Matthew Golden out of the slot. I'm going to say, show me you can cover this. Because if you can't, I'm going to do it all night.
All right, well, let's say this then, Matt, because this is great stuff. With Matt Bowen, let's say you don't have C.J. Gardner-Johnson. You do have a limited Kyler Gordon. You've got what we've seen of Jalen Johnson. You've got Nashawn Wright, who's made a lot of big plays but struggled with some other stuff. You've got, theoretically, a healthy Tyreek Stevenson. And you've got Nate McLeod, who didn't play but is supposedly the backup slot corner but didn't play. They used Jalen Jones. Hell, you've even got Josh Blackwell, who used to play there but doesn't play there now under Dennis Allen.
And
for
Jonathan Owens.
You've got Jonathan Owens and Elijah Hicks as like safety options. How do you utilize your personnel? How would you, if you're the coach of that defense, that secondary, how would you utilize your personnel on Saturday night?
I'd be very quick to make changes. If I'm Al Harris in that football game, I'm using everyone if I have to because it's win in advance, a winner, and go home. So, and not that I'm not going to give a player an opportunity to correct a mistake. That's poor coaching when you don't do that. You have to allow that. But to an extent, you have to find out what your best combination is for Saturday night, and it's hard to do that in practice. For example, if Gordon does play, can he open and run at 100%? Because that's going to be tested early, too. Your player coming back from injury, I'm throwing at you right away to see if you can open and run, to see if your play speed is what it's supposed to be. Because if it's not, then I'm going to keep going at you, right? So there's going to be different, I think, lineups, so to say, that Al Harris is going to have to work through and find out what is the best combination for Saturday night to beat Green Bay.
When it comes to getting a pass rush that's a little bit more dependable, I feel like over the last four games, I've watched Austin Booker be better. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been good. But I wouldn't necessarily call it consistent pressure. Where do you think that consistent pressure should come from? And is it possible for the Bears to create some with the defensive personnel that they have?
Well, you can always create pressure, Lawrence. You can stunt your fronts. You can run games up front. You can give overload looks, which Dennis Allen has done for a long time with his defensive fronts. Find ways to generate pressure and find ways, more importantly, to get the matchup you want. Is there a certain tackle you want to take advantage? Is there a certain guard you want to take advantage? Can you use Booker to loop inside against the guard and get a head start? What that means is when a defensive end twists or loops inside versus a guard, they're not used to playing in space, right? What it does, it gives them a long runway, and it forces them now to feel like they're in space. That's how you can attack the edges of a guard off a stunt. But they have to generate pressure. They have to, because if they don't, then you're looking at a situation which we talked about at the top of this, as we're leaving your defensive backs out, and they have to cover for a long time.
Our segment with Matt Bowen is brought to you by McGrath Acura in Westmont. When you do the math, you'll choose McGrath. And it's a little bit of breaking news. This is a big story here.
Yes, it is.
All of the NFL Bigfoots are reporting it. Adam Schefter, Jordan Schultz, and Diana Russini. John Harbaugh fired as the Ravens head coach.
After 18 years as the head coach there, the fact that game 272 of the season came down to the final seconds, and it might have ended for Mike Tomlin if it didn't end for John Harbaugh. Right. It's what a crazy-ass league this is, isn't it, Matt Bowen?
It is sometimes. John Harbaugh is an excellent football coach, and I think John Harbaugh will get hired immediately. I would look at him right. I'd be calling him right now if I was a general manager who needed to make a hire because of his, you know, what he did in Baltimore in terms of the player development they had in Baltimore, what he did in terms of adapting his offense over the years, and plus what he did on defense, replacing multiple coordinators who went on to other jobs and still playing at a very high level on that side of the football. I think he's an excellent leader, an excellent CEO of your football team, and someone that if you bring into the building will be looked at as the most important person in the building. So unfortunate, but guys, we see it every year in this league.
How about the New York Giants and Jackson Dart as a fit for John Harbaugh?
Here's what's crazy about this. I understand this is going to sound horrible and cutthroat, but that is part of what the NFL is. There are a lot of teams who should be tempted to fire their current head coach now that John Harbaugh is available.
Right.
You know what they should do? They should send Jed Hoyer down there to knock on the door and say, I know you thought you were safe, but we all of a sudden John Harbaugh's available. We got a little something-something for you.
Matt, I wanted to get back to the Packers. I wanted to ask you a Packers like specific question. I saw a couple of things on Matthew Golden. And it forced me to go back and watch some tape on Matthew Golden. Why aren't the Packers using him more? Because his win rate is really high.
Right, right. It's interesting. I had this discussion the other day with just how hard this league is for young players. And we don't get to see everything, right? As we get to see what happens on Sundays. We're not there through the course of the week. We're not there during practice. We don't know what's being asked of a certain player within a certain offensive or defensive system. In terms of the responsibilities, outside just catching passes, right? There's so much more that goes into the game at the wide receiver position. But to your point, Lawrence, I agree with you because he can get open. He's a three-level route runner. You saw that in his college tape. Everyone knows he can stretch defenses vertically, but he's a very good player at the top of the break and creating separation back to the football as well. And this has been something with Green Bay. And you can say about Chicago this year, too, how many different targets they have in the pass game. I think that's a sign of a very good offense. But that's one player, if I'm going into this game, I would still have to account for because of what he can do in terms of the vertical speed down the field.
They scare me when Jordan Love is healthy and in a good place because he will use everybody. He'll use Bo Melton. He'll use Jaden Reed. Yep. He will use Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson changes them. And I mean, they got a lot of dudes and they will use everybody. Should they be doing more games up front? Like they got Austin Booker and Grady Jarrett got there with a stunt and maybe they've been doing it a lot and I just haven't noticed, Matt.
You're talking about the Bears defensively?
Yeah, talking about the Bears front four and trying to get pressure.
There was a little bit. They did a little stunt.
They did that little stunt and they got there.
Yeah.
Dennis Allen's got to be creative maybe with that stuff.
I think Dennis Allen does. I think Jeff Hafley does as well in Green Bay. Because right now, if you're talking about the Packers and what their issues are, without Micah Parsons, they are not rushing the passer, obviously, at the same rate. And I think that puts their corners in a position where you can attack them. Hey, look, when you have Micah Parsons in the football field, your defensive backs are going to play at a higher rate because the ball has to come out. But when he's not in the football field, like we talked about, you're in coverage longer, you can be exposed. And right now, that's the issue for Green Bay as well, is how do they get to Caleb Williams? And different with Caleb Williams because he can move, he can extend plays, he's a natural playmaker once he gets outside of structure. So again, you have to contain him and force him to throw from the pocket. Much easier to do that when you have Micah Parsons, and Green Bay obviously does not.
Let's flip over to the Bears' offensive line for a second. They lost quite a bit more than we're usually seeing them lose against Detroit. Now, there weren't as many shifts. There weren't as many motions. Like, maybe it was kind of a vanilla game plan by Ben Johnson. What did you see when it came to how the Lions were able to win some of those one-on-one battles?
Well, to your point, Lawrence, it's a great question. Did the Bears run a game plan that was just built to get through Week 18? I can't answer that. Only Ben Johnson can. But I did notice a lot less movement than we've seen in the past. I always go back to the Philadelphia game and the movement they had pre-snap, which I thought was one of Ben Johnson's best game plans of the season. It didn't feel the same this past Sunday. There could be multiple reasons for that, and we could speculate that they're saving stuff for Green Bay. We don't know that. But I think you have to have that going into the Green Bay game, because I think that's where the Bears and Ben Johnson are at their best, is when they force defenses to play with much more focus, eye discipline, when they force second-level defenders to hesitate, when they can pull defenders out of throwing lanes based on what they're doing pre-snap and forcing them to shift. So I think you'll see more of that on Saturday night, and I think that does protect your offensive line more.
Matt, it's such a great time of year. What other game are you looking forward to the most over this weekend, other than Bears-Packers?
I think Buffalo-Jacksonville is very interesting to me. Just because you look at Buffalo right now, and if you look at the playoff field in general, I think Josh Allen is the biggest difference maker right now in the National Football League in terms of what teams are playing for a championship. And what worries me about Buffalo is their defense. They lack high-end team speed in the secondary. They're very foundational in their coverage approaches, a lot of split safety coverage and zone heavy. And I want to see how Trevor Lawrence plays against that, and especially what Liam Cohen can do, the Jaguars head coach. So I'll tell you what, he has Trevor Lawrence playing his best football as a professional athlete this year.
Yeah, it's interesting. Neither conference has a quarterback who has ever won a playoff game among their top two seeds. Bo Nix, Drake May, Sam Darnold, Caleb Williams. So like it's a crazy, crazy year in terms of all that.
It is. It's wide open. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago when I asked who the favorite is, and I think you can still ask that question. If you look at Seattle right now, that defense is outstanding. Okay, I still think when you look at the quarterback position in Sam Darnold, still, especially late in the down, he has a tendency to make poor decisions with the football. Okay, so you look at every team, the Los Angeles Rams, we know what they are offensively. We know about their defensive front seven. You can go after players in that Rams secondary right now. So there is not a team in this playoff tournament that doesn't have a flaw or an area you can expose, and I think that makes it even more wide open.
Matt, as always, we love it when we get to talk ball with you. Thanks so much for jumping on and breaking everything down.
All right, guys, go Bears.